Another day, another episode.
118, man.
That's a lot.
We're rolling on. Yeah, I looked at my whatever it is, the back end of the website where all of the stuff is. Mm-hmm. And in the podcast folder, there's 143.
With so, many episodes. With,
yeah. So all the different stuff. So, I mean, we got...
You're trucking right along, man.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be slowing down. Only, the weird thing is sometimes we're like, okay, well, what do we actually want to talk about? And neither one of us has an idea. And then it turns into something. And those are some of our best ones.
Right. So just letting it go.
All right. So it is January 14th. It is episode 118 of the Scary Dad Podcast. And this one, last week we did kind of a 2018 retro and some resolutions. This week we're going to talk about coming soon.
We'll look forward. Yeah.
Some of the stuff that we kind of went over the stuff we're gonna be doing as the show and as individuals, but some of the stuff that is coming out in the world that we're looking forward to in the new year. So, and January is already halfway gone. It's pretty crazy. it's already halfway gone. So, without further ado, let's introduce Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
All right. On this date, January 14th, 1943, Franklin Delano Roosevelt becomes the first president to travel by plane when he flies from Miami to Morocco to meet with Winston Churchill.
So it was the birth date of Air Force One.
Pretty much, yeah. Kind of strange how long air travel had been around before a president flew.
Right.
But 1943.
You want to make sure it was safe.
Yeah. All right, this date in 1950, the prototype of the MiG-17 was released, which you're like, oh, what? But if you were a kid of the 80s and you remember Top Gun,
yep,
and those guys were flying around in MiGs, that's that Russian fighter jet,
right?
That there's so many people don't realize, and I remember my dad telling me the stuff when I was a kid, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, but growing up on one side or the other of the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain and we didn't understand. Nobody knew how bad things were in the Soviet Union. We thought everything was like Rocky IV.
It was a big deal back then.
They were super
so tech movies.
Super technologically advanced. Uh-huh. They were breeding super soldiers.
Willing to cheat.
They were, yeah, and just like super capable, super competent, and soulless was kind of the way that the Russians were presented to us as when we were children. And come to find out, like, those MiGs were not very well put together. They were not very great planes. But if you watch Top Gun, they were pretty super hellified, yeah, planes, you know. But yeah, they were flying prototype MiGs in 1950. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And in a case of, you know, because not these days they don't exactly do their job the way they're supposed to, but back in 1967, the New York Times reported that the U.S. Army was conducting secret germ warfare experiments, and apparently it was a really big deal. So, we'd like for the newspapers to go back to reporting facts and news and uncovering crap instead of just being a poster child for the government. Like, that would not be good. But, you know, whatever. You get the world you live in. I guess I'd rather be living in now than 1967.
Right. No doubt, man.
Not a whole lot of internet porn in 1967. It's a joke, but it's also true. This didn't exist.
You had to work. We had to work for hours.
Yeah, you had to watch the squigglies.
You had to know somebody that could
have. You had to watch the squigglies.
Lead to the side.
All right, let's see. Notable births. Miss Dayton, 83 BC. General Mark Antony, famous for assassinating, being, I don't think he was one of the assassins, but he was one of the generals that led the revolt against Julius Caesar. It was Brutus, who was his ally, who actually stabbed Caesar.
Yeah.
Along with the other congressmen.
They too, Brutus.
But yeah, Mark Antony, who then died with Cleopatra whenever Octavian took him down. 1741, Benedict Arnold, famous
famous traitor.
Which is weird, because the only reason most people know the name of Benedict Arnold was because of that Brady Bunch episode. When Peter didn't want to, like, Peter was cast as Benedict Arnold, and all of the schoolmates were giving him a hard time for being a traitor in real life. All right. 1919, television personality Andy Rooney. 1941, Faye Dunaway. You don't hear much from her anymore.
No.
1948, T-Bone Burnett. He wrote the soundtrack for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Okay.
1965, rapper Slick Rick.
Remember him well.
1968, LL Cool J.
Know him very well.
Yeah. 1969, Jason Bateman, Teen Wolf 2. Among other things.
Yeah, he's in a few more than that.
I think that's probably where I first saw him. Like, they couldn't get Michael J. Fox for the sequel.
Yeah, so they went and grabbed him.
And in 1969, Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters and
Foo Fighters.
Nirvana. All right, notable deaths on this date in 1898. Alice in Wonderland's Lewis Carroll. 1984, Ray Kroc. The man who brought us all of those McDonald's. He's the one that... His strategy was not selling hamburgers. His strategy was real estate. But he'd go into a town and he'd buy all the corner lots and put a McDonald's on them to kind of hold them for, right, for future value. And then by doing that, he turned McDonald's into what it is.
Yeah.
And none of them moved. So you got McDonald's sitting on some of the highest value properties all over the country,
right,
in every city.
Definitely not at the top of my fast food.
No. You know what's weird about McDonald's? Like, when I was a kid, you know, you go get a Happy Meal or whatever, you know, have a hamburger or quarter. Even as a grown-up, like, I remember working in a mall and, like, I knew the guy who ran the McDonald's, so I'd get a Big Mac or whatever, and he'd throw in some extra fries or whatever. I used to smoke a lot of cigarettes all the time until
as a child.
practically. But I quit smoking, and I quit eating McDonald's for the most part. But here's the thing. On occasion, somebody will be smoking, and I'll smell smoke, and I'll have some of this kind of like wistful feeling of like, that smells good. I'd like to have one of those. And occasionally, I'll even have one of those. And you know what doesn't happen? Is this kind of like self-hating revulsion that happens whenever I do break down and like get a cheeseburger from McDonald's. I'll swing through and grab a cheeseburger and fries because it just smells good. And then like afterwards, I'm just filled with self-loathing. It's just like, oh.
I think as a kid, the town I grew up in, it was weird the way it was set up. It was like, usually you have people from one side of the tracks or the other. Where I was from, you had people from one side of the bayou or the other because the town was divided by a bayou. Our side of the bayou, we didn't have a McDonald's. It was on the good side of the bayou. So I never ate McDonald's growing up. Very rarely, man. So I don't have that taste for it that some people have where they, you know, they long a Big Mac or something. Because we had Burger Chef and Burger King is what we had on our side of town.
Burger Chef was probably a better place.
Burger Chef was, dude, I remember one of my coolest memories of Burger Chef. I don't know if you remember these back in the day, but they had the kids' meal, okay? And the kids' meal would come with these square records. And I remember there was a Halloween one that came out that had the Monster Mash on it and stuff.
That's sweet.
It was so cool. I remember playing that square record on a record player.
Was it like real floppy?
Yeah. It was like a real floppy one. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those. Those are fun.
Those used to come with the kid meals. That was so cool, man.
when I was a kid, you know, I wouldn't say we ate it a lot. You know, my mom, stay-at-home mom, she did home
cooking. My mom cooked a lot, yeah. Yeah, fast food was a treat.
Yeah, very much so. And even so, like, McDonald's was not their choice. If we did if we did fast food, like, dad would usually swing through KFC or...
Or we had, like, local places. Like, there was a Frieza where he'd get chili dogs and stuff like that.
But, you know, like, every now and then, mom would just pull through the drive-thru and get a Happy Meal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I don't remember how old I was, but I remember whenever I ate the Happy Meal and I was still hungry, and it was like, felt like I was, mom's like, oh, I guess you're going to the Quarter Pounder now, like, which was actually a better burger.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I just, it's weird. It's like, you know how sometimes you'll eat food and you can, your body just tells you like, oh, that's good for you. And then there's the
opposite of that. Like a Filet-O-Fish from McDonald's. That hits you where it's like, why'd you just eat that cardboard?
Yeah.
That's You're not going to feel good later.
Not good. All right. And this date in 2009, we lost Ricardo Montalban.
God. And Fantasy Island, don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. And in 2016, we lost Hans Gruber, Alan Rickman.
Phenomenal.
Dude, actor.
So charismatic.
So good. There's all these gifs of him just moving his eyes from different scenes. the look on his face whenever in Die Hard when he's like, John, they're going to kill me. And he like just has that like, oh, that's a good idea. Look on his face is just sinister. So good. Just everything he did was good.
Yeah.
So in 2016, lost Alan Rickman. But that is it for the old business. We're going to take a break real quick, and we will come back with the new.
Oh, what do you say we get started? So you want me to tell you the story of my life? I'll tell you my story. I'll tell you all of it. I'm flesh and blood, but not human. I haven't been human for 200 years.
From the novel by Anne Rice. From Neil Jordan, the director of The Crying Game.
I've come to answer your prayers. Life has no meaning anymore, does it?
His name is Lestat.
But what if I could give it back to you? Pluck out the pain and give you another life. One you could never imagine. I can see you lying on a bed of satin.
He chose one man. He gave him infinite power. Eternal life. And a daughter who would be forever young.
This is the only real evil left.
And then he took the light of day.
You're a vampire. You never knew what life was until it ran out in a red gush over your lips. I can't stand this any longer.
You made us what we are, didn't you?
God kills indiscriminately, and so shall we.
Do you like dying? You condemn me to hell!
Monster. One happy family.
He turned weak. End her suffering and yours. For do not doubt, you are a killer.
I want some more.
Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Stephen Ray, Antonio Banderas, Kirsten Dunst, and Christian Slater. Interview with the Vampire.
And here we are.
Yep.
Mr. Gomez.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
The Cryptid Watch. Eastern Kentucky woman is reported to have seen a frightening creature outside the town of Sandy Hook, Kentucky, which has prompted an investigation by the Bigfoot Researchers Organization. In case you didn't know there was such a thing.
There are.
The group released a follow-up report this month that concludes the woman saw something that wasn't human for sure. She described it as a walking tree. However, this report stopped short of declaring it was Bigfoot, a legendary ape-like creature that remains more popular myth than a scientific fact, according to some people. It will always be fact to me. I saw the pictures when I was a kid in the Weekly World News.
Absolutely.
Claims of Bigfoot sightings have been reported across the nation for decades, including a 2017 nighttime encounter in the woods of McDowell County, North Carolina. Smart says he interviewed the Kentucky woman about her experience, calling it a Class B incident in which a possible Sasquatch was observed at great distance in poor lighting. A woman reported to have seen a creature while she was a passenger in her husband's vehicle. At some point, she started screaming, "There's something in the road." She's looking at this thing, which she said was about 7 foot tall and the color of a tree, and it turned its head and looked straight into their car. So, yeah, so we've got a Kentucky Bigfoot sighting. Folks are running out there to try to see what they can find. And other people have come back and said that they've seen similar creatures as she described. It was the same color as a tree in different states and everything. So,
you know, and I'm not saying that it's not a Bigfoot, but have you seen those videos of those guys in those, you know how like snipers, like military snipers, they put on that that sniper gear that makes them look like
grass? Yeah, a gully suit. Yeah, it's a gully suit.
And have you seen those ones of like those guys hiding in different spots and scaring people? It's like there's one of those guys like out on a rock in the middle of a creek, and he's kind of just like hunched over like that, and there's a kid on a tube. He floats by, and the guy just kind of like pops up because he's like, it looks like grass growing on a little island in the middle of a river, and dude's like, boo, and this kid just like falls off his and there's like this whole video of like all these people like doing crazy hidden stuff. So it's like she might have been looking at some guys doing war games out in the woods. A quick story. Years and years ago, back whenever I was a kid, not a kid, I was a teenager, Chris, Jordan, and I, there's on the other side of Attucks Dam, over by where I live, there's access to the reservoir and kind of the game preserve. And we went back there to drink beer and smoke cigarettes and, you know, be left alone. And so we were just kind of sitting there talking and bullshitting and whatever. And it was kind of starting to get dark and skeetery. And we were like, all right, let's start, you know, it's probably time to head on back to the car. And we're sitting there just talking. And I look over my shoulder and I see something come out of the woods, and it looks like the Predator, like in camouflage. It's like the light just kind of moves, and there's just this figure that's just kind of like morphs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude. And he's like, what? He's like, don't mess with me, dude. I'm like, no, there's something there. So he turns and he looks, and we're both like scanning the tree line, and it's probably about 30, 40 yards away. We're both looking into the woods, and all of a sudden, this dude breaks cover, and he comes running out of the woods with a handgun, and he's pop, 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 pop. So, of course, Chris and I both just hit the deck. We're like, what the? And look up, and there's another dude coming off the hill.
Oh, shit.
And he's firing, too. Well, this guy's playing paintball. But they, like, we didn't know that's what it was. You know,
thought you took a wrong turn.
Yeah, she definitely thought something was up. But yeah, those guys were so well camouflaged. I didn't see them until they were like, you know, I saw the guy kind of move in the trees a little bit. They just got some guys in there playing paintball. But the reason why, because it was all camoed out, including his mask.
Right.
So he wasn't wearing like tactical black. He was wearing like jungle camo, and he fit in with the trees pretty well. Which I can usually, because I'm colorblind, I can usually pick out the shapes. I can camouflage doesn't work on me, but it was gray dusk.
Yeah.
So what else happened?
A group of Bible scholars with an organization called BASE, which is the Bible Archaeology Search and Exploration Institute, have claimed that they have uncovered the final resting place of the legendary Ark of the Covenant. So these guys feel as though they have found the relic, saying it was smuggled from Israel to Africa. There's strong evidence, according to them, that the Old Testament's Ark was the final resting place is in Ethiopia. Of course, the Ark of the Covenant, as you know, is one of the most sought-after relics from the Bible. It is said to be the trunk that contains the Ten Commandments hidden down to Moses on Mount Sinai. So they're out there in Ethiopia right now trying to figure out exactly where it is, but they feel as though all evidence points to that is the location of the Ark. It's said to be a chest made of wood covered in gold, and it contains the two stone tablets along with other paraphernalia from the Bible. Ethiopia has long had a connection with the Ark, with Christians in that country outright claiming to be the current holders of the relic with it under guard at the Church of Our Lady Mary of Zion. So they're pretty confident that they're going to be finding the Ark pretty soon. So,
if they do, they need to move it back to Jerusalem. And here's why. You know how, like, you read, you know, when you're a kid, you all read all this cryptid stuff, Loch Ness Monster and stuff like that. Well, there's a couple of things in the esoteric world, you know, kind of the occult and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I'm sure you've heard of, like, the Spear of Destiny. The Spear of Destiny was
apparently used to stab
right. Jesus. And apparently the Nazis had that, and that's whenever they were kicking ass and taking names, and as soon as they lost it, then things went bad for them. There's a couple of different esoteric things. One of them is the Ark of the Covenant. Apparently there's a curse on the Ark of the Covenant that says that if it is not in the Jewish homeland, that whoever holds it is basically doomed to, like, famine and unrest and, like, all kinds of misadventures. And it's long been said that it's in Africa somewhere. But if you look at geopolitically the way Africa just has been, like, historically, just in general, like, with all of the unrest and the wars and the genocide and the famines and the droughts, and it's like Africa, as far as, like, the continent itself, not the individual countries, but the continent is full of resources. I mean, they should not be as messed up as it is.
Yeah.
But it seems almost...
It could be very self-sufficient.
It should be self-sufficient, but it's constantly being pummeled with misadventures. And if they would maybe move that thing out, put it back it where it goes...
And prosper.
Maybe it can, you know, open up...
Because, I mean, it's a historical fact. Africa is the birthplace of civilization.
Yes.
That's where it all started. You know, something went wrong. Yeah.
Well, in a saying like, okay, we're not going to get political. The problem is whenever you have different, when you have a modern ideological, like, political thought process that has not risen with the people around it,
mm-hmm.
then they resist. So when your culture, you know, say it's Judeo-Christian or even Muslim or whatever, when your culture develops your culture and everybody kind of falls in because that's just what you do, that's one thing. Whenever you take that and, like, try to impose it on people who don't share that philosophical base, you're always going to have resistance and problems.
People are scared of change.
Yeah, and so... You know, nation building is not always the best idea.
Right. It backfires most of the time.
Big times. But, yeah, maybe they could get that thing out of there and Ethiopia can come up again. Because they used to be a major world power. Haven't been in a long time.
Right. Okay, Serpent in the Rainbow. What is, in your opinion, one of the more horrifying scenes in that movie?
There's so many.
Well, one of the ones that I've always just, no matter how many times I see it, I cringe every time, is when he's naked on the chair, the wooden chair, and he takes that spike and drives it through his ball sack.
Oh, of course. That's.
Let's go to Taylorsville, Utah.
Oh, shit. Never. I thought you were going to talk about the Russian guy.
No.
Was he on your new business?
No. Which one?
The Russian guy who nailed his nutsack to the stones in Red Square.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And, like, all the Russian police are just looking at him like, it's like a protest. And they're all like...
Should we let him bleed out?
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Taylorsville, Utah. Police say a man held another man at gunpoint, bound him to a chair, and then told him he could choose between death in the desert or having a nail hammered through his genitals. According to charging documents filed September 5th, the assault occurred on August 30th. Jason DeMond got in a fight that night with a man who was living in his home with him. During an argument, he held a shotgun to the man's head and made him sit in the chair before handcuffing him to the armrest. He then told the victim he could either be taken to the desert and die or drive a nail through his penis. The man also told the victim he would shoot him if he tried to fight back. The victim chose the latter of the two options. He said, "I don't want to die, so go ahead." And the statement indicates he used a rusty hammer to drive a tool resembling an ice pick through the victim's penis and into the board he had placed underneath the victim.
Ouch.
Yeah. Guy didn't die, of course, but the guy was charged with aggravated kidnapping, domestic violence, aggravated sexual assault, domestic violence, mayhem, domestic violence, and aggravated assault. And he is currently sitting in the Salt Lake County Jail.
The fact that there's actually a criminal charge called mayhem. I know I should be taking away much more cringeworthy stuff, but it's like, what are we going to charge him with? Let's charge him with mayhem.
That sounds like a good one. The hell fits. Okay, I don't know if you heard about Guillermo del Toro's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yes.
Which will be coming out. That has gotten a release date. We'll be looking forward to seeing that in 2019. Yeah, let's see exactly when. I want to say it was in March. August 9th, 2019, we'll be seeing that. So, it's an adaptation of several horror stories that...
from that series.
It sounds pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. And also, have you seen the trailer for Brightburn?
Yes.
Okay. I'm so looking... That's one of the highlights of 2019 that I'm looking forward to. James Gunn has released a trailer for his movie Brightburn, which is essentially a horror movie version of Superman,
mm-hmm.
which looks awesome.
Have you, how big of a Superman fan are you? Have you read a lot of Superman?
Yeah. Yep.
There was a series arc, and I'm sure they've done quite a bit more with it, but there was an artifact in his Fortress of Solitude. It came with him on the rocket,
mm-hmm.
and it was called the Eradicator. And essentially it was a terraforming, AI. And so, going back in Superman's story, it was whole, you know, he's a lone survivor, and it was sent to, you know, he was just basically in a lifeboat and shot off to Earth and, you know, became the super-powered entity that he is. The Eradicator, once it got opened and once it got unleashed, it started trying to turn... Earth into Krypton, like basically like changing the environment and stuff so that Krypton could be reborn, mm-hmm. and he actually had to stop it. So some of the scenes in that Brightburn where he's doing like drawing the symbols and stuff,
yeah.
it looks like they're taking some of that mythos from the Superman
and pulling it to Brightburn.
Pulling it too. Because there's a couple of different Superman's gone bad sort of stuff, like what would happen if, and like probably the most popular one is the Injustice series, mm-hmm. where essentially the Joker kills Lois Lane and Superman loses his mind.
Yeah.
And well, actually he kills Lois Lane and then he nukes Metropolis, so it's like a big thing, and then Superman just goes nuts and takes over the world and he kills off the heroes.
All the heroes, right, him. Right.
And the worst part about it is that in his mind, he's right.
In his mind, he's fighting evil.
Right. And then there was another one that's like, it was an independent comic called Irredeemable about a Superman-like character who loses his mind. And he has all the same powers as Superman, but he's just unhinged. He just goes off and just starts wrecking shop and destroying stuff, and nobody can stop him.
Right.
And he pretty much destroys the world, and it's so that some of the more interesting Superman stories are the ones where he loses it.
Yeah.
So this one looks pretty badass.
Oh yeah, it looks cool. Gunn is producing the project. Someone else is directing. But according to the synopsis, what if a child from another world crash landed on Earth, but instead of becoming a hero to mankind, he proved to be something far more sinister? With Brightburn, the visionary filmmaker of Guardians of the Galaxy and Slither presents a startling, subversive take on a radical new genre, superhero horror. Like I said, it looks pretty awesome. I'm very, very much looking forward to this one.
Yeah, that where the girl's like hiding in the freezer.
Yeah.
And he's like uses his vision to like cut the door open. Like,
it is badass, dude. And he's still, but the thing about it is, he's still a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, he doesn't grow up. You know, he's still a kid, and these powers are, it looks pretty awesome. Okay. Russia has a state-run television station called Russia 24. And it recently revealed this this robot that was marketed as a technological breakthrough. It had the ability to walk, talk, dance. There were videos of this robot. It looked almost like a transformer. Dancing, walking, talking, and shit. It has been revealed that they were caught in a scam.
Oh, yeah?
It was a dude in a suit. And the way they discovered it is, one, somebody was going through pictures, and a bunch of journalists were like, this is bullshit. This thing is breakdancing. You know, what kind of robot? We're Russia. We can't do this kind of shit. You know, we made the MiG in 1950s. We can't do this kind of stuff now. So, people were going through some of the pictures, and they noticed one photo from behind the robot. You could see a gap in the helmet, and you could see human skin right here.
Oh.
So they started researching it. Come to find out, it was a costume that's available online called Alyosha the Robot, which costs about $2,900. €2,900 for this costume that they bought, put it on somebody, said, go act like a robot. And pictures all of a sudden came out after that of the guy, like, in the back of the studio with the helmet off. You could see who the man was underneath it. So, yeah, the footage was destroyed, but all of a sudden everything came back on. And they got duped into this Boris the Robot bull crap. Let's see what else they got. And that's it. That's enough. We're going to talk about Bird Box a little bit, but...
Talk about Bird Box. I haven't seen it yet. Probably by the time this episode drops, I will have. Every time I sit down to start doing it, something comes up.
More people have seen it than have subscriptions to Netflix, which is just insane.
Yeah.
What pisses me off the most about what's going on with this movie right now is I enjoyed the movie thoroughly. It reminded me of The Happening, except it was a lot better than The Happening. But there's so much hype behind it that I think expectations have been set too high because it's not that good. It's a great movie. I recommend you watch it, but don't go into it thinking it's the next It.
Right.
Because it's not. It's been billed as being the scariest movie ever made from people that don't know much about horror movies. It's a good movie. Sandra Bullock is great in just about everything she does. It's a great film.
It's a good movie.
Watch it. But yeah, just don't go into expecting it to be just this... you know, groundbreaking film. It's a good movie, has a good plot, filmed very well, the sound is great in it. Enjoy it.
Awesome.
But Bird Box, I definitely recommend watching it.
It'll still be on?
I'm sure. It'll be on for a year or two. If Tucker and Dale's still on there, it'll still be on. That's it.
Tucker and Dale's actually one of the better ones.
That's an awesome movie.
It's not one of the scariest movies ever made, but it's one of the better ones.
It's a fun ride.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, jeez. Whoa, Jesus.
Did you see the way those guys looked at us?
Who wants to go skinny dipping?
We got your friend!
Hillbillies.
They captured Allison!
Oh, it's the pancakes! You hate pancakes? I'm gonna make you something else.
What am I doing here?
Fell into the water. I dove in and rescued you.
We'll go find your friends. You should relax. Tucker and Dale are on the case.
What is this place?
It's just a cabin. It doesn't mean they're psycho killers.
Then why don't you go in there and talk to them?
All right. Maybe I will. I said maybe.
Dale, what are you doing?
I'm digging a crapper hole.
You mind if I help?
He's making her dig her own grave.
There's no rules out here. It's us against them.
No! Oh, good. Look, your friends are here.
Are you okay?
Saw your friend out there.
He must be allergic to bees or something because he was running like a bat out of hell.
This is a suicide pact. These kids are coming out here and they're killing themselves all over the woods.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense.
The girl that we have, she can maybe explain the whole thing.
You've got another one inside.
Oh, she's in my bedroom.
Heads up.
Oh, we gotta take the safety off on the side there.
Don't do that.
Be more careful!
Time to die, freak!
Fire!
Stop, stop and roll!
No, don't use that.
Let's get you down from there.
Wait!
Sorry about that.
This vacation sucks.
All right. Well, you talked about a couple of the cool coming soons that we're looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to Brightburn.
Brightburn's going to be awesome. I'm glad to see James Gunn coming with a great movie. You know, he's never going to... He may have lost Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but he's still going to be around making great movies.
Yeah, my wife and I watched Avengers last night. It's on Netflix now,
right now,
so,
yeah.
You've seen... So I'm not spoiling, but you've seen Avengers, Infinity War. It was interesting to see that it is produced by Stan Lee and James Gunn. It's like, but yeah, I think my highlight, like the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to is probably going to be Brightburn. You and I might have to go see that together.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
That's across genres and stuff. We both like superheroes and we both like horror. And this really, I mean, it really does look pretty well done just from the trailer. I mean that was awesome.
Now there's several horror movies we've been talking about that are going to be coming out in 2019. One of course is It Chapter 2, mm-hmm. which is another one that we saw the first one together. We may want to go see this one together too and do an episode on that. Definitely looking forward to that. I don't see how they can, it's all the same people that's going to be working with this one, so I don't see how they can mess it up. On that same note, this year we're also going to see the remake of Pet Sematary.
Yes.
I love John Lithgow to death, but I am not going to the movies to see that one.
I don't know if I can handle watching that movie.
I'll watch it I'll watch the DVD or whenever it comes on Amazon or something, but that's not one I'll be going to the movies to watch.
Yeah, just, I've been going back through some old Stephen King, you know, reread, you know, it was probably last year, not last year, 18, but in 2017, I reread Christine. 2018, I reread The Shining, Salem's Lot. Just kind of been, you know, several of the stories through Skeleton Crew, Cycle of the Werewolf, just kind of going back and like revisiting some of these old, like they're old friends. But I look at Pet Sematary and I just, like the whole kid.
It's hard. It's a hard watch.
It's a hard watch.
It's not a fun movie for sure.
No. And, you know, it's like...
There's no comedy in that movie whatsoever.
No, there's no... And there's no...
It's just
dread. It's bad the whole way. I mean, it's a well-rendered story, but it's... For a parent, it's just the scariest thing
ever.
You
can watch movies like, you know, but, you know, Thing and stuff.
People want to talk about Bird Box. Go back and pick up the old Pet Sematary. That's probably one of the scariest movies. If you're a parent, that's probably one of the worst movies ever made. Horror-wise. But I'm not particularly looking forward to Pet Sematary.
No, like I said, I won't be visiting the theater for that one. Another one that's going to be coming out, which we talked about earlier, riding off of his success of Get Out, Jordan Peele will be coming out with his movie Us, which the trailer has recently been...
Do we have a synopsis on that? Does it?
A couple visit a beach house with their children and their good friend. The relaxing vacation comes to an abrupt halt with the arrival of some unwanted visitors. That's about it. Right. They're not giving a whole lot of plot details, but it from just watching the trailer, this family ends up having to fight doppelgangers of themselves. Now, are these doppelgangers demons? Are they some type of supernatural thing? We don't know yet. Mm-hmm. But the four visitors that come to this family's house initially have no faces. But next thing you know, they look like, each one looks like a member of the family.
Oh, wow.
And it looks like it's centered around their son, the boy. So... It looks like it's going to be a very well-made movie. I'm sure it's going to be incredibly successful because, like I said, he's writing. Friday the 13th Part 4, most successful of the franchise. Mm-hmm. It was right on the coattails of Part 3. This was right on the coattails of Get Out, so I'm sure it's going to go ahead and do phenomenal in the box office. Which is good for horror, of course. Another one in 2019 that's going to be coming out, which I'm not particularly looking forward to, is the Child's Play remake. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not big on that.
So since we've Happy Death Day Part 2 is going to be coming out, which I never saw the first one. That, I think that one came out in 2018. They already got a. The one that I am looking forward to that should be coming out in 2019 is Three from Hell.
Right.
The sequel and follow up to The Devil's Rejects by Rob Zombie. So
that might be a good popcorn. Let's throw everybody in the car and go sneak in the drive-in and watch some Firefly chaos.
Now, another movie that's coming out in 2019, which has been delayed so much and pushed so far back, I'm not really excited about it. I was originally when they were first making it, but the New Mutants movie that's supposed to be coming out in 2019. It was supposed to come out in 2018. They even had the trailers playing at theaters. They had posters coming out, and they all of a sudden kiboshed the release. Now they're saying 2019. This one that we'll see. I have a feeling that that one's. I know. I think some of the rumors they had was that they put it in front of test audiences and they didn't care for it too much. So they wanted to reshoot a bunch of scenes and everything and try to make it better. I recently rewatched this movie. This next one, it's the year of the remake. It's the time of the remake. You know how that shit goes. But they're remaking Jacob's Ladder.
How?
They're doing a new version of Jacob's Ladder, set for release in February. This new one stars Michael Ealy, who's supposedly not a straight remake, but rather an updated take that will maintain the themes as well as the surreal vibe. That movie is such a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Amy hated it. She didn't care for it too much because it's just a weird, weird ass movie.
Yeah, it's
probably one of Tim Robbins' best. Be honest with you, because he kind of went a little loopy as he got older. He's done some great movies, don't get me wrong. Yeah. He's done several great movies, but I kind of like it.
I really enjoyed Jacob's Ladder. I don't know how they're going to do a remake, because that's one of those things, kind of like a... It didn't make sense to begin with. Like, scene for scene, it makes sense, but you're talking like Jacob's Ladder and... Not to compare the two movies, but it's like trying to remake Big Lebowski. It's like...
Or trying to remake Pulp Fiction.
Right. It encapsulates everything it needs to do. It's a self-sustaining, it is its own creature.
Right.
It's not like a slasher where you can just put a different dude in a mask and have a whole bunch of new teenagers. It's like, that's not how that works. I don't know how they're going to do that, but...
This was bound to happen, and in 2019 we're also going to have a movie called Escape Room. It's of course going to be a play on the phenomenon that has taken over the culture today with escape rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, six strangers are going to have to find their way out of a escape room filled with dangerous booby traps.
Kind of like Saw.
Yeah. The good thing is, one of the stars of the movie is Tyler Labine, who you will remember from Tucker and Dale versus Evil. And this, honestly, this so other ones is a part two of 47 Meters Down, which I've never seen.
I just got that actually in the $3 bin. I got actually a bunch of Killer Shark movies. I picked up The Shallows and 47 Meters Down the other day.
Okay.
As well as Bubba Hotep and Pumpkinhead. Like, just
trolls. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I found that limited edition Bubba Hotep DVD at a Goodwill one day, which is pretty cool. Brand new, still in the wrapper and stuff, man. Love that movie. There's another movie coming out called Polaroid, about an old Polaroid camera with fatal abilities. It was supposed to be released 2 years ago, but it's finally going to be coming out in 2019. Annabelle 3 is going to be coming out. And of course, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which we've already talked about.
I'm looking forward to Scary Stories.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro is good.
Badass, dude.
Hellboy is supposed to be coming out.
Yeah, I didn't really want to talk about that, though. It doesn't look good.
No, it really kind
of
doesn't.
It reminds me of RoboCop 3. You make a RoboCop with a different actor. You take Peter Weller away, it's not the same movie. Mm-hmm. You take Ron Perlman away from Hellboy, it's not the same movie.
And David Harbour's a good actor, but...
But it just doesn't look right. And be honest with you, to me, when you look at the old Hellboy books, makeup actually looks more like the comic.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so used to Ron Perlman being Hellboy, it needs... It just
well, Ron Perlman's makeup and... his jacket and his arm and just the way that they put him together, he looks like Mike Mignola's art. Mm-hmm. The kind of just the kind of like more blocky kind of stylized noir look. David Harbour looks more realistic, so to speak, but you know, like more demonic, I guess. More
he looks more like a Tim Curry from
But he looks like Legend.
Yeah, Legend.
And,
yeah.
But we'll see. I don't know. We'll you know, it'll come out. It'll have its reviews or it'll, whatever. One I'm looking forward to, it's not on the horror side, but I'd like to see the new Wonder Woman coming out. They pushed that back. I don't know why they pushed it back, but apparently they wanted to reshoot a bunch of stuff. Or they had delays in shooting or something. But that one looks cool. Have you seen those videos of her? She's in her invisible jet.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so there's got video of her like in a harness, and like she's sitting, she's harnessed and she's sitting, and they're like they're flying her over the street. And, like cool, that kind of looks. I mean, you can see the strings, but obviously they'll take that out, and she'll just be like, whew, like landing her plane. Like that looks pretty badass.
Yeah, those look pretty. That sounds pretty cool. But yeah, there's some other movies I'm looking forward to this year. That was just the horror stuff that I was bring it in there, but I'm trying to think. Oh, I want to see Aquaman, of course. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, yet. I'm gonna try to make a point of seeing that. We're actually traveling a little bit, so I haven't had a chance to yet. From the mouths of children, right? So here's the thing. I got two little girls, and their personalities are pretty different. The older one, she likes to put on the costumes. She likes to put on the fairy dress and get all dolled up and become the princess. The other one plays along, but her preference is action figures. She likes to set up and play with the horses and the figures and have their little conversations. So she's like the director and the other one's the actor. Well, Juliet gets dolls and she doesn't play with dolls. But Daddy has a bunch of statues and action figures and stuff decorating his office. So she thinks that's cool. So she got some Christmas money. And she wants a Poison Ivy statue. So we're fixing to go out shopping the other day. She's got her Christmas money. And she's like, can we go to the comic book store? I was like, yeah, what do you want at a comic book store? Without missing a beat, she's like, I want one of those $60 statues. Okay, what statue would you like to get? She's like, either a Poison Ivy or a Mira. I'm like, okay. And my wife's like standing behind her looking over the shoulder like, no. Like, we're not going to let her spend $60 on a toy. You know, like on a statue to just set on her shelf. She's 8, right? Like, it's a nice gesture. So it's a nice concept, but ultimately that's too much. And I agree. However, she wants Mira. Why do you want Mira? Because she's like a girl Aquaman. She's just as powerful and she's pretty and she's got all these powers. Awesome. Have you seen Aquaman? No, but I saw the Justice League cartoon and she's in it and she has a baby. I'm like, okay, fair enough. Like, let's... So, we get... Instead of going to the comic book store where things are too expensive, we go to Target where Aquaman toys are available.
Yeah.
And so they've got the like 12-inch dolls, and they're out of Aquaman, but they have Mira and they have
Black Manta. Yeah.
So she wants to get Mira, so she grabs a Mira, a 12-inch Mira, and she grabs a 6-inch Aquaman. She's like, I want to get these two. I'm like, but baby, they're not the same size. You need to either
aesthetically, it's not going to look right. Yeah.
It's like you either need to get the big Mira and wait to get the big Aquaman, or you can get the little Aquaman and wait to get the little Mira, but you can't get the big one and the small one. Like, that's not how that works. She looks at the little Aquaman, and she's like, yeah, I don't want him anyway, because if we do, you're going to have to go, you'll have to go in your garage and use your grinding tool and make his hair short, and then we'll use some paint and make it blonde, because he doesn't look right. I'm like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I was like, well, baby, I'm sure I can find you a blonde Aquaman somewhere. But even now, he's got blonde streaks in his hair. Like the toy, he's got blonde streaks in his hair. But yeah, she doesn't want Jason Momoa Aquaman.
She wants the original.
She wants the real guy. So anyway, and she ended up getting Mira and Black Manta, which is cool. And then I don't think she even cares about Aquaman at this point. She's just kind of like, but yeah.
It's, you can probably find a DC Direct from like the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's the 12-inch or the 10-inch Aquaman.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to end up doing, so it can just kind of...
Yeah. Because,
one of my favorite characters of all time, just going back to the old Super Friends, was Black Manta. Like, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Like the big old bug-eyed helmet and the tubes and everything.
Uh-huh. He's cool.
He's badass. So I was pretty proud of her for picking that guy up because he's neat. but yeah, she's a purist, man. She wants a blonde, short-haired Aquaman. Like, all right, we'll figure it out. Kind of got off the horror thing for a second.
Yeah, it's okay.
But scary stories, dude. Again, Guillermo del Toro is badass. And even though the scary stories were children's stories, they're collected folk tales. And some of them are kind of, they're really creepy.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like in-your-face horror. But those came out when I was older. So I was like 13 or 14.
Maybe Amy's
fine. Text from my wife. Good thing you just got a new suit. We're going to a wedding tomorrow at 10 a.m. Interesting.
Married New Year's Eve.
Okay. I'm going to fire off the... I didn't realize we were invited to a wedding. But I guess we're going to a wedding. Happy New Year. But yeah, anything that he does is pretty much badass. So,
yeah, he has great vision. He's awesome at what he does, period.
He's also really, really good at horror.
Yeah.
So, it'll be good stuff. All right.
So that's movies. There will also, of course, for 2019, we have to look forward to Texas Frightmare Weekend. But fortunately, you know what's sad is Comic-Palooza is the next weekend. They haven't announced one guest yet.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Frightmare Weekend, on the other hand, has definitely given you a show that you want to go to already. All right. Leading off, of course, Tim Curry. That's the big one.
Yes.
That they had this year, which is a pretty big one.
So are they doing a like a Rocky Horror reunion? Or is
he's the only one.
He's the only one?
Yep. Yeah. Well, except for Meatloaf. So we'll see. Like I said, they have several more guests they're still going to be announcing, so, but they haven't exactly pointed to a
Rocky Horror
reunion. They have, of course, pointed to a Nightmare on Elm Street reunion.
Yes.
And a Reanimator reunion. So next up on the list, of course, is Robert Englund,
mm-hmm.
who's just an icon in the horror genre. Everybody knows Robert Englund. Let's follow that off with the other big announcement of Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
As they put it, the man, the myth, the chin.
Yep.
And dude, I've been still watching Greatest American Hero like crazy, driving Amy nuts. What's bad is I watch it every Saturday and every Sunday morning. There's a marathon on right now as we speak, so I've been watching it pretty much all weekend. Ralph Hinckley's awesome. I miss that show so much. Okay, so we got Bruce Campbell that everyone is familiar with, and we got Meatloaf, which I thought was an interesting announcement. I thought that was pretty cool. I'll be looking forward to meeting Meatloaf. The few movies that I've seen him in, of course, have been great. I remember him from Leap of Faith and everything.
Fight Club.
Yeah. The other one that I'm so excited about because I got to hang out with him so long at Comic-Palooza when he came down, but Lance Henriksen.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons why I've been looking for another copy of Near Dark.
Yes.
To get that signed. So, yeah, that's going to be awesome to have Lance Henriksen there.
Lance Henriksen, dude, with Alien and...
Aliens, Terminator, Pumpkinhead, Near Dark... Quick and the Dead, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Dog Day Afternoon. He was in The Right Stuff. He's been in so much stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He was in one of the Hellraiser movies, one of the later ones. He's been in plenty of places. Then let's go ahead and throw in Cassandra Peterson. They'll fire herself coming.
I'm going to give you a stack of stuff for her.
Okay.
That's awesome. Elvira's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
One of my best memories, and I know I've told this story on the show before, but when she used to do, she still does, but she used to do promos for different stuff. But I think she did a promo for like Coors Light or something back in like the 80s or early 90s.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad came home with like this 5 foot, 6 foot standee of Elvira. And I wish to God I still had this thing. But it was just like the scene from Christmas Story.
It'd be pretty cool
to It was just like the scene from Christmas Story, because Dad comes walking in.
Oh, happy.
And I think he had like a bucket of chicken, and he had this Elvira under his arm, and he like set it up in the living room. My mom's like, "What are we going to do with that?" He's like, "Well, I think it looks good right there."
It's art.
So Elvira's been around my whole life. She's awesome.
And she hasn't changed any. That's the crazy thing. She still looks the same, dude. On the horror host theme, of course, they got Joe Bob Briggs is going to be bringing
that's
this.
Another one.
Yeah.
He just, again, he didn't come out of nowhere, but he came rocketing back really hard with Shudder.
Yeah.
With his
it blew right back up
with his drive-in,
just all the nostalgia thing. For people, they jump right on it.
And also, like, again, I can't justify the cost because my ability to watch horror movies is so slim as it is. I've got a stack of DVDs I can't even watch,
right?
But I'm tempted to get Shudder just to watch his show,
right?
Because it looks awesome.
And co-star of Robert Englund from the movie Zombie Strippers, Jenna Jameson, will be making her debut.
What else has she been in?
Not a whole lot of horror.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Elm Street Party. Robert Englund, Heather Langenkamp, Amanda Wise, Ronnie Blakely, Lisa Wilcox, Danny Hassel, Joanne Willett, Tuesday Night, Toy Newkirk, Andres Jones, Brooke Bundy.
Wow.
Get your Nightmare on Elm Street feel at this show. Now, I've already met Robert. I've met Amanda Weiss, Ronnie Blakely. So it'll be cool to meet everybody else.
That's awesome.
That's a pretty big. Heather Langenkamp is a big one, dude.
Uh-huh.
That's a really, really big one. So that, and Joanne Willett is the one that friended me on Facebook. So
beautiful.
Look forward to meeting her. After that, we have our reanimator party. Jeffrey Combs, Barbara Crampton, which is huge.
Yes.
And Bruce Abbott and Kathleen Kinmont, all from Reanimator, will be joining the show. So there's a Reanimator reunion. And Crampton's a big one, dude.
Yes. Barbara Crampton's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when we watched Littlest Reich, Puppet Master. And whenever, right before it was coming out, she was promoting it, like real big. It was awesome to see how excited she was. Like this is great, this is my movie. But yeah, she's fun to watch on social media.
Yeah.
Because she's always plugging movies or like talking about throwbacks and stuff. She's funny.
With some of her lists, Reanimator, From Beyond, Chopping Mall, Puppet Master, Littlest Reich, Lords of Salem, Body Double, Transfers 2, Castle Freak. She's definitely a scream queen,
yes,
to say the least.
Certainly.
She is. The definition of. And after that, we've got from the movies Event Horizon, Hills Have Eyes, Warning Sign, Twilight Zone, the movie, and so many more. Kathleen Quinlan will be making her convention debut. It's her first time at a convention. We got Nick Castle, who's a director and screenwriter and musician. This is one of the ones that people got so excited about. Sandy Johnson, Judith Myers from the original Halloween, the first victim from that started it all, is going to be making her one of her rare appearances. And people are excited about that one.
I might be sending some stuff for her to sign as well.
James Dude Courtney, of course, he's Michael Myers in Halloween 2018.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in several other movies. Stuntman and actor. Felisa Ross, Rose, who... Sleepaway Camp, Return to Sleepaway Camp, Perfect House, Death House. She's another screen queen from back in the day that's going to be making an appearance.
That's what they've got so far.
That's what they got so far.
Yeah. How they are able to fill their roster so thoroughly.
I think a lot of it, I'll be honest with you. We also have the guys from Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 and 2 are going to be coming. People want to come to the show.
Yeah,
the guests want to come to this show.
Well, it's a phenomenal show. It's just the amount of talent that they are able to fit into that little space.
They know the fans are going to appreciate them so much. They want to be there at Texas Frightmare Weekend, which just it says a lot about what Lloyd's been able to do.
Mm-hmm. Also, I hate to say it this way because it makes it sound almost like petty, but the fact that they allow adult beverages, like you can go up to the hotel bar and, you know, like
you go to your room and fix a drink.
Yeah, you can go to your room and fix a drink. Like everybody's on their best behavior.
Yeah.
Like we were there, we saw all kinds of, you know, I'm using air quotes, but shenanigans. But nobody was getting out of line. No. Nobody was being
everybody
stupid.
Everybody respects each other. Everybody, yeah. You know.
People are being goofy and stuff and having a good time. But everybody, it's like there's this unwritten rule that's just, well, I'm sure it's written too. But it's just like everybody's just be cool.
Right.
Like be cool. But I remember remember when we ran into Jay Mazur at whenever we first arrived. And she was like, yeah, you know, sitting in the line for Clive Barker for like 4 hours, just sitting there drinking and hanging out with people. You know, it's like, that's where it's at. That's what the show's about there.
It's a family, dude. It's a reunion. It's so much more than just a convention.
Mm-hmm.
One guy I forgot, I can't believe I forgot him, but I guess I scrolled too fast. Ted Raimi.
Oh, yeah. with the exception of Bruce Campbell, he's every other character in the Evil Dead series.
So, yeah, wouldn't it be awesome if they announced Sam?
Mm-hmm.
That would just be killer, dude. But yeah, Ted Raimi, brother of Sam Raimi, of course, and character actor and a supporting actor on so many roles. Any movie his brother's involved in, he's going to be in it somewhere.
Yes.
Bruce Campbell and Ted Raimi are going to be somewhere in the movie. Just got to keep an eye out for him.
Mm-hmm. I remember listening to Bruce Campbell. He was on, I think it was like the Chive podcast. And he was just telling the story about, you know, making Evil Dead and obviously making the first one and making the second one and just how much it was all about family. Like, there was a vision, there was a goal, and everybody... But how, like, people had obligations. They had jobs, and they had school, and they had families and stuff. So it's like everybody came out and gave it all that they could. But, like, towards the end of filming, like, that's one of the reasons why he was the only one left, because there was nobody else around. Yeah. Like, everybody else had to go
get back to work. Yeah.
So it was like just, you know, at the end, by the time they were finishing up filming, it was just like he was cast crew and holding microphones and stuff. And, like, it was just a labor of love. And, you know, you can tell by watching that movie how innovative they had to be, because they had no money. I mean, they had some, but they didn't have a lot. So that's why they have, like electrical outlets are being like... Rah,
rah, rah. It's a practical effects extravaganza.
So, and then watching Army of Darkness, whenever they did have money, and it's just as heartfelt. You know what I mean? Right. It's just as
they had good. Five times the budget for blood.
Yeah. And when he's talking about making Ash versus Evil Dead, and he's like, oh yeah, we have a viscera machine. A viscera launcher. We've got this big old cannon that'll just shoot guts at you from...
did you ever see the third season of Ash versus Evil Dead? Right. My God, there's some scenes, dude. They're just... The minds that come up and stuff. I'll tell you what the scene is, but... Essentially, he's in a morgue trying to find where they hid the Necronomicon, the Book of the Dead. And there's this body on the table. And it's a morgue. His body's all over the table. And they hid the book inside one of the bodies. And he's trying to get it out. And all of a sudden, so bullshit, the guy's intestines come out of his asshole, wrap around Bruce Campbell's neck,
and pulls
him in. So he's running around with his dick on his face. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's in the ass. So he has this guy's body on top of him. Dude,
I have seen that scene.
Those minds are incredible, dude.
Have you ever been at the house recording one night?
Okay, it was
all. And you're like, look at that. Oh, God.
But yeah, it's the whole Evil Dead franchise is just
so much fun. It just
you can tell they had so much fun with it, just coming up with all the stuff. Because like it, whenever you're watching them in between the episodes, they do a little back behind the scenes for each episode where he talks about, well, we decided to do this effect by doing this, and they give you a little bit more background. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome, dude.
I'll have to collect some stuff. I've got an Evil Dead 2 VHS, so might get a Bruce Campbell and a Ted Raimi on that one. I've got an Army of Darkness VHS as well. So
that'd be a good one to have, too.
You know, you're going to have them. Might as well have them collectible, right?
Right.
All right, man. Well, I think that's a lot of stuff to look
forward to. Plenty to look forward to.
Yeah, we're gonna be keeping busy.
And then there'll be stuff popping up. I'm sure there'll be movie announcements coming up as the year progresses with stuff that we don't know about yet.
Oh, certainly.
There's plenty to look forward to.
Well, as we get into the exit of the episode 118, say again. The episode number, the mini episode for your daughter's...
It's called All Is Quiet.
Okay. So,
I'm not sure what the number is. It's the latest mini episode from Sirenicide.
Awesome. So, yeah, go to Sirenicide, download, listen to Scott's little girl in her voice acting debut.
She's a paid voice actress now. She's so excited.
That is awesome. And don't stop there. Go back and listen to Sirenicide. I mean, there's three seasons now of just all kinds of craziness, good stuff, you know. And, you know, it's one of those things where they're constantly pumping out content. So if you're listening to an arc and it doesn't work for you, then there's some shorter ones that you can get in there. Like, for me, a lot of Sirenicide's too long for my commutes. So, like, the mini episodes are awesome because I can kind of jump in and I can grab some content and then jump out.
And there's standalone stories that you can, you know, get into.
But yeah, and they keep improving their production and the storylines and everything just keep getting better. So go say hello to our friends at Sirenicide. If you haven't yet, like I said in the last episode, I've got a little side project called Desk Ravens. If you are a creative of any type, if you're an artist, an author, a composer, anything that would have to do, if I was creating a book and I might need your assistance of some sort of talent in there, then we want you to come and take a look and join our group. And that would be deskravens.com. Not doing the .net or the WordPress slash. It's just deskravens.com. Come see me and say hello. And I should have the first couple episodes of that. If they're not out today, then they are coming within the next week or so. And with that, it'll be episode 118 of Scary Dad Podcast, and keep it scary.
Later.
Tell me, where did you sleep last night? Come on, tell me, baby. In the ponds, where the sun don't ever shine. I was shivering all night too. My girl, where will you go? I'm going where the cold wind blows. In the ponds, where the sun don't ever shine, I bet she will do all night too. My girl, don't you lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? Come on and tell me something about it. In the ponds, where the sun don't ever shine, I bet she will do all night too. Shiver for me now. Uh-huh. what happened down there. My husband wore the hard working man, killed a mile and a half from here. What happened to him? His head was found in a driver wheel, and his body ever, never been found. My girl, don't you lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? Come on and tell me something about it. In the pines, where the sun don't ever shine. I bet you all night too.